Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app, live and local here in the nation's capital. We're going to go around the NFL in about 15 minutes. Diana Russini just reporting, though, that when the Packers land, Jordan Love will get an MRI. She's told an ankle injury has been ruled out at this point. It's just a wait and see for more information situation on the injury to the Packers starting quarterback. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll rate it on air. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go out to the phone lines. Kevin in Fairfax. You're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Alan? I just want to know, are you broadcasting from the VCU tailgate? We just got an email that said that the VCU tailgate just started. I'm like, I guess they're partying early.
I am not. I do it from the studios here in Richmond, though.
But anyway, I'm just sitting here grilling some pork chops. Wanted to chime in. I think the Commanders win. I think they're going to do it with ball control. Mm-hmm. And I think the defense, the front and the linebackers will keep them in check, and they will mask any deficiencies that they have in the secondary.
But I certainly hope so, Kevin. Appreciate you chiming in, because this is a Bucs team that enters the season with a chip on their shoulder. Everybody's talking about the Falcons in the NFC South. Well, the Bucs won it 3 straight years. They're looking for a 4th division NFC South crown. The Commanders will try to knock them off that path, as Washington has actually won the last 3 regular season contests against the Bucs. The problem? The Bucs got that wild card win in 2020 when it was Heinicke against the GOAT, Tom Brady. So I've made it very clear I'm predicting the Commanders to win. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. I told you last week, Max, I'm not lying. It came to me in a vision. It was Labor Day weekend. I took a late nap, a siesta, and all of a sudden I had this dream that the Commanders win. It was blurry. Couldn't see the scoreboard, but when I finally woke up, I saw it was 20-17 Commanders win. And it's because I think Jane Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury will shock the Bucks. They're going to be able to go right down the field, because that's the big unknown. How much is Jaden going to run? What's Cliff Kingsbury's offense going to look like? How will they utilize B-Rob and Austin Eckler? I thought that J.C. Allen, our Bucs insider, did make a lot of great points about this Bucs team. The Bucs team has more chemistry, right? They made it to the postseason last year. They brought the game back. They have a better culture because they've built something there with Todd Bowles. It takes back to even before he was in charge. And Baker is comfortable. Baker is comfortable in this offense. He has the talent around him to do what he did last season. So let's get to it. Our keys to victory for Washington. Week 1 on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So first key, this is your car key. You're not going anywhere without your car key, right? Well, the Commanders took the flight to Tampa Bay. And in order to win this game, we got to put the keys in the car and press start to drive. Fast start. Fast start is definitely key number one. Ron Rivera is gone, right? I mean, my goodness, Ron Rivera, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. Games where his team didn't show up until it was 2:30 p.m. on a 1 p.m. kickoff. The Dan Quinn era starts now. Cliff Kingsbury has been great at getting off to good starts to his season. And so a fast start for me looks like this. 2 touchdowns in the first half from the offense. I don't know if it's 14 points on the board, if it's 17, if it's 20. 2 touchdowns on the board for the Washington offense by halftime. That's the first key to victory, a fast start. Then we go to our house key, right? You got to get into your house here if you want to win this game. This is going to be a tough game. How do you win on the road in a tough environment? Key to victory number 2 is win the turnover battle. Todd Bowles really knows how to coach defense. I mean, he is going to blitz. He is going to make things tough for our offensive line that's already shaky. I want the interior of the offensive line to play well. Biadasz, Allegretti, Sam Cosmi. I'm worried about left tackle. Cornelius Lucas splitting, you know, snaps with Brandon Coleman. Wiley on the right side. I'm very worried about our offensive line and Todd Bowles' ability to blitz. Maybe Jayden Daniels can scramble, but you got to win the turnover battle, which means you cannot have any sack fumbles. You cannot have bad interceptions. And look, this is the start of the Dan Quinn era, right? What was he known for in Dallas last year? Interceptions. Winning the turnover battle is the second key, because I don't think that the Commanders can beat the Bucs, who are going to be at full strength here, unless Jayden Daniels gets some kind of a short field opportunity to go right down the field. Your third key to victory, this is the key to your safe, where you keep all your money at. How do you win the game? The key to the safe? Win the line of scrimmage. Win the line of scrimmage. What does it look like to win the line of scrimmage, my third key to victory? That's more rushing yards for the Washington Commanders than the Bucs. I talked about this earlier. That's the combination of B-Rob, Austin Ekeler, and Jayden Daniels against basically just Rashad White or whatever end-around type plays the Bucs do as well. And I think they will do a lot of that. They're going to try to be creative here to make things easier for Baker Mayfield. You have to win the line of scrimmage. It also has to do with the sacks, right? If Jayden Daniels has taken out a bunch of sacks, that's going to decrease the rushing yards for this team. So I think fast start. Fast start. That's your first key. Win the turnover battle. And if you win the line of scrimmage, the Commanders can win this game. I think it'll be a one-score game. 20-17 is my prediction. But the pathway to success for Washington is to control the line of scrimmage, win the turnover battle, get off to a fast start, win the time of possession battle as well. You've got to contain Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I do think Sanders still will stay with Chris Godwin. I am really looking forward to that matchup. He's earned the opportunity to go against one of the best slot wide receivers in the league because he's earned that starting spot right away. It will be a nightmare matchup probably for St. Juice against Mike Evans, but St. Juice does have the size, I think, to make things a little bit difficult for Mike Evans on some jump ball situations. But really, defensively, you just cannot have the slip-ups where we give up an explosive play because there's a total failure on the defensive side of the ball. We're two guys, a safety and a corner, looking at each other and pointing at each other who made the mistake. That happened time after time after time last season. You're not going to win this game if that happens. And then you need Washington to stay healthy, right? We do not have the luxury for Terry McLaurin to miss a quarter because of an ankle injury or something like that. We don't have the luxury for Zach Ertz to be a slow start, and then it's John Bates getting all the minutes there and the snaps with a little bit of Ben Sennett. We don't have the depth on the offensive line. We've got to stay healthy. That's so crucial, especially when you look at what Austin Ekeler did week one last year before he got hurt. 150 all-purpose yards and a touchdown week one last year for the Chargers. And then he dipped because he got hurt and he never recovered, right? Well, now in Washington, he's healthy. Health is going to be a huge factor in this game. But I really believe Washington can win this game here. I don't look at the Bucs as an unbeatable team. I look at this schedule for Washington, and there's a lot of better quarterbacks on the schedule than Baker Mayfield. And I think a lot of the reason Baker Mayfield was so good last year is because of how bad quarterback play is around the league, right? I mean, last year, Baker was one of the only starters to stay healthy, right? It was known as the year of the backup quarterback last year in the National Football League. And so, yeah, Baker Mayfield winning, what, 9-10 games with the Bucs looked really good. And the touchdown-interception ratio looked really good. I think he comes back down to earth a little bit. We'll have more turnovers. We'll have more incompletions. His completion percentage was really high last year. I've got the Commanders winning with my fast start, turnover battle, and winning the line of scrimmage 20-17 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We want to take your phone calls, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. I see we've got Vic, we've got Alan, we've got Andrew on the line. We'll take more of your phone calls next. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. It's Doc Walker coming up at 11. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on 910 The Fan in Richmond. Talking all things DC Sports. That is with the free Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan to hear AWOD Radio Monday through Friday and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It'll be the Super Bowl champ and legend in the DMV, Doc Walker, coming up at 11 a.m. We got the Lurch Papa from the Sports Junkies to talk a little college ball at 10:30. But right now, phone lines are open. I gave out my keys to victory. What's it going to take for Washington to steal a victory on the road week one against the Buccaneers? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to line one. What's up, Vic in Acatique? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Wizzle, what's good, B?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm pretty good. So, listen, I agree with you. We're on the same page considering the keys to victory. First off, we got to be able to run the football because we have to bring Todd Bowles' blitz package under the subjection of our will. And our will must be that we can move you out of the way when we want to move you out of the way. It will make him deter from blitzing, and it won't put their defense in a rhythm. And the Bucs' defense can get in a rhythm. We don't want that. Secondly, Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes have to play well tomorrow. They have to put us in position to where when we blitz, we are blitzing with the geography of the field, and we are putting Baker Mayfield in situations where the windows are either very tight or closed. You can't do that when the perimeter is unsecured by your boundary and your field side corner. It can't happen. In addition to that, we got to be able to rush the passer, and we got to be able to rush the passer with four. I'm going to tell you why. We're not so – the first area that we need to be sold on is our ability to get to the quarterback without having to blitz. Because Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice have not shown us yet that they can do their jobs well. And Mike Evans and Goodwin, they're going to get targets and put us in positions where we could potentially be on our heels. So I would rather see us be able to get after the quarterback and stop the run to force Baker Mayfield and to force their offense to have to start pulling out the annexation of Puerto Rico. When we get into that point, then we know we have established our rhythm. Those are the basics that we need to be able to see. Now, I'll leave you with this. We don't know yet if Jaden Daniels is Sean Taylor. We don't know yet if he's Robert Griffin's rookie season. We don't know yet if he's Magic Johnson. We're like, ooh, we got something here. That is the X factor. And we will see if that propels us to be in a close game, or we say, wow, we're a good football team because of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, he's not going to be a game manager. I think he's going to be a game winner. Vic, I appreciate you chiming in. I'm going to go off of a few things that you mentioned there. This Commanders team has to stay ahead of the sticks because with Todd Bowles' ability to blitz and the talent they have on the defensive side of the ball, you know, third and long is a nightmare situation, and that could force Jaden into making a mistake. So how do you stay ahead of the sticks? You run the ball on first and second down effectively. B-Rob getting 4 yards a carry. Austin Eckler right behind him there, either up the middle or around the outside. If you get into third and five, third and six, Jaden can pick it up with his legs. He can, you know, scramble around if they blitz. And he can also do a lot of quick throws to just release the ball and get into somebody else's hands to pick up the first down. Probably he will target his tight end, Zach Ertz, a lot. And then defensively, I totally agree with Mike Evans and Godwin having the ability to put Washington's defense on their heels. So how do you do that? How do you stop that? You got to move Baker off of his spot. right? So I get what he's saying. We have to be able to rush the passer with our front four, but I want to be able to send more and just move Baker off his spot, make him hurry his throws, and so he doesn't have time to sit there in the pocket and release downfield, because Mike Evans will burn you on a double move. That can't happen. The only way it doesn't happen is if Baker doesn't have time for that double move to develop. Sam Fortier had a really good article this morning on the Washington Post. He asked the question, is Jaden Daniels the one, right? Vic was just talking about that. Is he the one? Is he RG3 rookie year? And I like what Sam Fortier had to say, quote, the stakes are immense. If Jaden Daniels lives up to the hype, he could jumpstart the revival of Washington's historic NFL franchise, validate its new leaders, and pack a gleaming new stadium, giving it heart, making it a place for the community, and pride. If not, he'll be the latest unanswered prayer in a long, dark age, and the collateral damage could be considerable. Sullied reputations, lost jobs, and a new stadium that may be a shiny but soulless. He'd be another name on a list. In 92 seasons, the only Washington quarterback who has thrown 30 touchdowns or more passes in a single year was Sonny Jurgensen in 1967. He says the new Commanders regime has, for its parts, avoided presenting Daniels as the savior. Is Jaden Daniels the savior? Is he the franchise quarterback? Is Jaden Daniels the one? 1-800-636-1067. I've been asking myself that question, right? Is Jaden the quarterback we've been searching for decades? I know he's got to stay healthy if any of that can happen. He's got to stay professional like he has been, but you got to love how he's handled this process so far, and he's done everything possible to get himself geared up and his team ready for week one, because he wasn't named the starter right away. He earned it. He earned the confidence from the GM to the coaching staff and to his teammates from the hard work he put in this offseason, and that's all you can ask for. Now you got to prove it to the world when the regular season comes around tomorrow. And I think there's a few things that could lead to Jaden having success year one. I think it's the amount of snaps he played in college from ASU to LSU, some really tough environments on the road in the SEC against some of the best players in college football, as that's always been the biggest conference in terms of NFL players. The offense coordinator he's working with in Cliff Kingsbury, who has had success with dual-threat quarterbacks, success with Baker, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Caleb Williams before working with JD5 here in Washington. And then the last reason I think Jaden Daniels could have success early on in this season, early on in his career, is just simply the amount of pure talent and athleticism he brings to the table. It's something we haven't seen since the likes of Robert Griffin III. And, man, I got myself so fired up watching highlights from him in college this week. I just think this guy is going to dazzle on Sunday against the Bucs in my mind. He is going to carry the ball, I think, 8 times for about 65 to 70 yards. I think it's going to be probably 3 or 4 designed runs where he kind of fakes the handoff to B-Rob and runs around the outside, a lot like we saw Robert Griffin III do with Alfred Morris. It's going to be quite a few scramble plays, and then I think there's going to be just 1 or 2 plays where he's rolling out, he's got guys downfield, but he decides in his mind, instead of throwing that, I can just pick up the first downs, get out of bounds, and move the sticks. And I hope he plays with that mentality that, hey, everything's on the line every single game in the National Football League. That's the way I think Robert Griffin III played as a rookie, right? It felt like every snap was the most important play of his life. And I want Jaden to play with that kind of intensity week one against the Bucs. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. Let's go to Peter in Wilmington. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning. Listen, my mother always used to say there's nothing like your own medicine. When someone gives you heart, give it back to them the same way. So I'm saying this team, our defense, we need to blitz as much as we can Baker Mayfield. I mean, put the pressure on him. Because if we don't, you know, we don't have the back end. We don't know what's going to happen. But we need to pressure him all day. I think that's the key for the defense. And for the offense, we got to run the football. And I think Jaden is going to be a great, you know, I think he is. I don't know. Nobody knows. But I think he's going to be a great quarterback. But rush him and absolutely pressure Baker Mayfield. I think that makes a big difference today.
Yeah, Peter, good call. I appreciate it. And I agree in terms of making things uncomfortable for Baker. So the first thing you have to do is make the Bucks one-dimensional. We have to stop their run. We've got to be able to run ourselves so that Jaden can run or play action off of that. And you can't blitz Baker if it's third and two, third and four. But you absolutely can third and eight, third and nine. If we're able to stop the run, third and long situations, you can blitz Baker and get after Mr. Mayfield. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Use it to rewind daily. I use it to rewind to the sports junkies, because Lord knows I don't have to wake up at 6 a.m. anymore, so I don't. And I always use that rewind feature to take a listen to the junks. And joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. It's Lurch Papa from the junkies. What's going on, Lurch?
What's up, Adam? I love my musical intro there, Thin Lizzy, The Boys Are Back in Town. It's a classic. Love that tune.
Yeah. Richie, how was your trip to Nashville?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a bucket list thing for me, man. I'd never been there before. I mean, it was total chaos. Labor Day weekend, Hokies were in town. You should have seen how many Hokie fans were walking down Broadway. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I had never been there before. I didn't really know what to expect. I had heard a ton of stories about it. But, I mean, there were so many people, and you know, lines to get into every bar. Drinks were $17. I mean, it was just crazy. It was a one-and-doneer for me, to be honest with you. Bucket list city. I don't think I'll ever go back. I experienced it. It was fun for about 3 hours. And then, of course, the game sucked on Saturday. It was hot as hell in the stadium, and it was just wasn't very pleasant. And it was fine to go once, but I don't think I'll go back again.
You definitely have to be used to large crowds, and that it's just crazy. I mean, I know when
have you been there before?
Yeah, I've gone twice. Once for a bachelor party. It's like the time I went to, it was like Thursday at 2 p.m. and it felt like it was a Saturday at midnight because the streets were packed.
Packed.
Yeah.
I will say, major D1 talent down there though.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's bazilli talent. It's baddies everywhere, dude.
I know. It was it was interesting, but the best part about it was I had a great hotel, had a great restaurant bar in it, really nice lobby. I sat down in the lobby and just people watched, because you wouldn't believe how many people came in and out of that place.
Right.
But we were at Broadway back-to-back nights. Friday we went a little harder than Saturday. And we were originally supposed to come back on Monday, Labor Day, but I told my wife, I said, we got to get out of here. So we left Sunday morning.
So last year, Kyron Drone, 17 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. I don't think people talked about that enough. Like, that's why he was so successful, was the touchdown to turnover ratio. He started the year with a bad turnover, and that was a big part of the loss in my mind.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the whole first half, the entire team looked terrible. I mean, they looked like a JV team. They didn't look prepared at all to be outgained the way they were in the first half. Obviously outscored 17-3. Drones with that pick that set up the Vanderbilt touchdown. And, you know, they just didn't look prepared. And second half they did, but after they take that lead with 4 minutes to play, they let Vanderbilt go right down the field, you know, and they score, tied up, and then obviously we saw the injury to Drones with the calf cramp. That certainly hurt them, but they just looked terrible in the first half. And then defensively, they were awful the entire game. Mansoor Delane, their corner, man, he was getting picked on all night and all day. I kind of worry about their secondary a little bit. I think the secondary is supposed to be one of the strengths of the team, but it certainly didn't look like it. And this kid, Diego Pavia, who was a transfer from New Mexico State, looked like an All-American against them last week. So, but this is a home game. You know, I don't know what Marshall's going to bring. They played three quarterbacks last week against Stony Brook. They started this kid, Stone Earl, who's like a dual-threat kid. I assume they're going to start him again. But they got a bunch of transfers. Look, the Hokies should win. I think they're giving too many points, but they should win this game, home opener against Marshall. Let's just see how they come out in the first half. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and you've had Coach Pry on the show. I have him on my show from time to time. And Bill Roth, the play-by-play voice of the Hokies, every week.
Yep.
And he was saying that, like, Coach Pry should be preaching in the locker room that this was a 17-0 game that they turned into 27-20. You're winning, and if your defense gets a stop, you win the game. And that's what they should be preaching offensively. But you're right, defensively, it was a nightmare. I mean, we talked about it all offseason. That was going to be a strength. I think Dorian Strong's an NFL corner. Delane was not good. The game plan was awful because you mentioned it. Pavia did that last year at New Mexico State. They should have known he's a dual-threat quarterback. Kyron Drones can do the same things, but Pavia had more confidence in his abilities.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, man. They looked outplayed and outmatched for that first 30 minutes. I just hope that they come out in the first quarter tonight and you know, show some enthusiasm, have some energy, especially defensively. Run defense has to get a lot better. Marshall's usually – I mean, they're well coached. I mean, Charles Huff's been there 3-4 years. They've been to a bowl game every single year.
Right.
And, of course, they beat them. They beat the Hokies last year in Marshall. So I'm just kind of eager to see how they come out in those first couple plays, you know. And I think the play calling's got to get a lot better. I was telling – there were some Hokie fans sitting behind me at the game last week against Vanderbilt. I'm going, why don't they spread this out? They were throwing all these little short passes, lateral passes, you know, three-step dropbacks. Let Kyron Drones air it out a little bit. You got three or four really good receivers. You got a good back you can throw to. And it took him a half to do that. And yeah. I was just very frustrated, man.
It was a high school game plan, Lurch, because they were throwing these two-yard passes, and then eventually they broke it downfield with Ali Jennings. That should have been the game-winning touchdown, right? They also should have done that play in the first half.
Correct.
So frustrating.
And I was screaming. I was so frustrated in the first half of the play calling, but let's hope they've learned a lot by watching that game on film, and they come out like a different offense. They should at home with the home opener. The fans will be going crazy. You wouldn't have believed how many Hokie fans, maybe you could see it on TV, but how many Hokie fans were at Vanderbilt First Bank Stadium. It was a home game, literally.
And they still lost.
And they still lost. They looked like ass in the first half. But I gotta think they're going to look a lot better in the first half, and yeah. They should win this game.
But you mentioned it. There's no way in hell I'm riding Virginia Tech minus 21.5. Give me Marshall plus the points here. I do think Virginia Tech wins maybe by 10 or 13 points, but it's going to be a close game. Marshall won last year. I get it. You know, Virginia Tech has more talent than them. They brought back all their offense, but they didn't look good enough last week for me to take them plus the points at all.
I agree. I would take the points too. You kind of look at the schedule. Marshall, you know, before the season started, you said, all right, Vanderbilt, they're going to be a two-touchdown favorite down there. Should beat them. Vanderbilt usually wins about two games a year. All right, they lose that. Now, you've got to win these next three games, okay? You got to beat Marshall today. You got to go to ODU next week.
They're not going to beat Rutgers, though, Lurch. They're not going to beat Rutgers.
I mean, doesn't look great. Rutgers coached well. They got good defense. But it's a home game. But when you looked at the schedule, you go, you got to win these four because Miami's going to be tough. Travel to Stanford. I mean, you're better than Stanford, but you got to travel freaking, 3,500 miles. I don't know what to expect from that. Boston College now looks legit. Georgia Tech looks legit. So you got to play Clemson in November at home. Schedule doesn't look as easy as it did before this Vanderbilt game, to be honest with you. But that's why you got to take advantage of this first month.
Lurch Papa from the Sports Junkies here with us on the BetQL guest hotline. Lurch, I'd like to take this time to give out some big fat winners. Do you still do that?
You know, dude, I'm a degenerate. I love it.
So let's start with Michigan, Texas. I like Michigan plus 7.5. It's now 6.5, but I placed it earlier in the week because they're at home. And I actually have Texas making a run in the college football playoffs, but I don't think Michigan is a bad team at all. They won it last year. I get it. There's a lot of changes. But they're at home. I think they keep it within a touchdown.
Yeah, I think I'll just sit back and watch this. If I had to play it, I'd probably play Michigan, like maybe in a tease, catching the points, just because it's a home game. But like you said, I mean, they're a totally different team. And I don't know how good this Davis Warren kid is. I didn't watch him much last week. So, they got a revamped offensive line. Obviously, Harbaugh's gone. So Texas is more talented across the board, pretty much every position. So I wouldn't be surprised if Texas wins this game by 10. But like you said, at Ann Arbor, this could be tough. Places, game day's there. This is a noon kick, correct? Is that a noon game?
Yeah.
So if I played the game, I'd probably play Michigan, but I don't love it.
What play do you love this weekend?
I like Maryland today.
Okay.
Maryland's slaying less than 9. If you can get it around 8, if you want to tease it down and get, lay Maryland with two or three. I really like it, but Michigan State just looked bad last week, man. They got a new coaching staff. Jonathan Smith comes in from Oregon State. He brought his quarterback, Aiden Childs, who was a backup last year there. He brought a bunch of different transfers. Offensively, they really looked bad last week against Florida Atlantic. They scored 16 points. Maryland's got talent at receiver like they usually do. Roman Hemby at running back, legit. Billy Edwards, their quarterback, looked really good last week. Again, it was UConn. I get it. But, and, you know, the Big Ten's a little bit different. But I like Maryland today. I think they win that game by a couple touchdowns.
That's a pretty good one right there. There's a big matchup featuring an ACC team, and NC State against Tennessee. It'll be played in Charlotte, North Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. I was listening to some gambling show this week, and I heard, bet your life savings on Tennessee. It just made me laugh. But I don't like the spread, but I might sprinkle a little bit on you know, Tennessee money line in a parlay with another game or two.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, Tennessee's better. I mean, NC State looked I think they were losing to Western Carolina last week in the first half.
Yeah, it was 14-14.
And Grayson McCall, who's the transfer quarterback in from Coastal, he missed six games of the year last year with the injury. He looked a little rusty. Tennessee's better. That kid Nico is legit at quarterback. So I do like Tennessee. I might not lay the points, but I love Tennessee to win a game.
What other game did you want to mention in terms of just like watchability? I'm interested in Colorado, Nebraska.
I would agree with that. Travis Hunter's so good.
Yeah,
he might be the best player in college football. But Nebraska is they're well coached. They're at home. Colorado's defense they struggle. It just seems like Deion says the wrong things every single week. I think Shadur and Travis will score some points, but I really like Nebraska to win the game. So I'm interested in that. That's a night game, I think, 7:30 tonight.
Yep.
And then I want to see Oregon and Boise. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. Oregon looked a little, stale offensively last week. Boise went nuts. Their running back had 6 touchdowns. But you have to consider the opponents. I think this will be a high-scoring game, Oregon and Boise. So I want to see that game too. And then I got to see Clemson bounce back after getting embarrassed.
I'm taking App State plus 17.5. I already locked it in. I don't care.
All right, lock it in. And Dabo's getting criticized because of the way he deals with the transfer portal, which he doesn't. And he likes to bring in his freshmen, the kids he brings in. He's like a parent. He brings these kids in, watches them grow, and then either ships them off to the NFL after 3 years or watches them graduate. And he does not take portal kids. And I think I understand why he does it. But if you want to win national championships now, it's a little different than when he was winning in 2016 and 2018. But the portal has changed the game. So he's got to open it up a little bit and accept some players if he wants to win championships. So I'm eager to see how they bounce back because Klubnik looked so bad last week. And the entire offense did. So I'm kind of interested to see how Clemson bounces back against App State too.
Lurchy, thanks so much for the time, man. Great stuff.
My man. All right, have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, one of the last of the sillies, the Lurch Papa from the Sports Junkies. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. On the Team 980, Monday through Friday, you can hear our next guest, Chris Russell, the Rooster, who joins us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with the good folks at BetQL. Get 3 days of free access by downloading the app or visiting BetQL.com. What's going on, Russell?
What's up, A1? How are you, pal? Hope the connection's okay. I'm just sitting here in Orlando International Airport, which is, as you could probably imagine, a little bit of a zoo. So I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, what are you hearing is going to be the weather report for tomorrow, 4:25 kickoff?
Well, it's changed a little bit off and on. I mean, I guess earlier in the week was supposed to be some pretty significant showers and thunderstorms. Now, the latest I read, I think it was yesterday morning, it was supposed to lighten up and not be that big of a deal. But, you never know in Florida, man. It's Hurricane season, not that we're dealing with that, but, I mean, literally, you could have nothing in the forecast, nothing on the radar at 3 o'clock, and by 4:30, you're in a monsoon of rain. So hopefully that doesn't happen, obviously, for either side. I mean, you know, one thing you don't want is what happened at, you know, the Penn State-West Virginia game last week, where they had to shut everything down for 2.5 hours, or even like what happened at the beginning of the Kansas City-Baltimore game the other night.
Yeah, you definitely don't want weather to play as a factor in this game, because we're so excited to see this new look for the Washington Commanders. Chris Russell's got boots on the ground in Florida ahead of Bucks hosting the Commanders week one. And how do you think this left tackle situation plays out? Brandon Coleman, Cornelius Lucas?
Well, I think Cornelius Lucas, I mean, he's been my pick to start all week, and I think Dan Quinn basically – I don't know if he confirmed it, but he said they would shuttle them both in, meaning Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. Sid Coleman had a really good week of practice, which I, you know, I have to trust. I mean, you know, like I think they want to go Brandon Coleman as the starter long term here, but because he didn't play in any of the preseason games and missed so many reps, you almost feel like you are obligated to like ease him in, right? Not throw him to the wolves against the third highest blitzing team in the NFL last year, and such an aggressive, smart, sophisticated defensive mind like Todd Bowles is. So, you know, I mean, I guess they're going to rotate them. I don't know if that's series by series, two series of pop. We'll have to see. I would expect Cornelius Lucas to get the first series.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I think we'll see if he gives up a sack. I mean, that'd be, you know, my key to put Brandon Coleman in the lineup. Speaking of giving up sacks, how much do you think Jaden runs week one? I've been saying this morning, as many as 8 carries. Like, I think it's going to be a few design runs and quite a few times where Jane just tries to pick up the first down with his legs.
Yeah, and this is going to come across as me being negative and me being crotchety and old man, you know, this and that. Like, I don't want him anywhere near the 16 carries by design or by necessity that Lamar Jackson had the other night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that wasn't all by design. Obviously, he was running for his life at times. But and even though he accounted for 122 yards on the ground, I don't want that out of Jaden. Lamar took some shots the other night. And if he doesn't take a kill shot, it's a cumulative wear and tear thing over the course of a long season. Ideally, I would like Jaden 5 and under. That's me. I know that's probably not what's going to happen between, again, designed RPOs and as well, you know, like the keeper we saw at MetLife Stadium on the first series that he played in the NFL that led to a touchdown. I mean, that's great. But what if it doesn't work out that way? What if he makes the wrong decision, which he did in the Miami game, and he got popped for it? And I'm not even talking about the run along the sideline for 13 yards where it should have gone out of bounds. I'm talking about another one, you know? So like, come on, like to me, if the book on him and everyone that you talk to is he's a passer first, well, let's design a passing game to get the ball out of his hands if we're worried about him sitting in the pocket and getting hit. Let's do that as opposed to so many RPOs, so many quarterback design runs, draws, what have you, so that you minimize not only the injury risk, but the cumulative wear and tear.
I'm so with you later in the season, but I want him to come out the gates running because that's his secret weapon, you know. And I'm not in this field of, hey, we're scared of him getting hurt and getting injured because look what happened to RG3. Those were completely different people. And I think injuries are random in the National Football League. So I don't want him driving reckless. You're so right about that. But I do want him, and I know he's so competitive deep down where there's going to be times where it's 3rd and 8 and nobody's open, and he's going to say, I think I can pick this up with my legs. Let's see what he's got week one until the film is out on him.
No, I understand that. And listen, I mean, Jordan Love gets hurt at the end of last night's game, right? And he's not running with the football. I mean, he's trying to elude, you know, pressure, and then he gets wrapped up, and that's where, you know, his knee appears to twist, maybe snap, and, you know, whatever. I mean, injuries can happen a million different ways. I guess I'm just, you know, look, I understand the extra ability to run the football and to make that more dynamic and play action and the passing game off of that and 11-on-11, all of the good. I understand all of the benefits. I guess I'm just so scared to death that we're going to basically see the season, you know, come to an end, way a proverbial end, just because we want to be dynamic. I'd rather be efficient and, again, quick game, you know, in terms of him getting the ball. And again, you can't always control that. I understand that. But to me, that's what I would rather see. You know, one thing that we certainly will see tomorrow, regardless of the weather, regardless of running, whatever, is not only quick game, but we will see the up-tempo offense. And
yeah,
I think that's one way to sort of neutralize Vita Vea, which is my number one key in this game. Like, everybody talks about turnovers and, you know, passing yards and rushing yards. And yes, they have to do all of that. They have to win a bunch of those battles. But to me, this game starts with controlling Vita Vea, the nose tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, stretching him vertically, or I should say horizontally, with the run, toss pitches, cracks, all that stuff, and getting the ball out of Jaden's hands so that he can't collapse Tyler Biadasz or Nick Allegretti or whoever, and therefore the pocket. So that's on Jaden, but then also to wear him out. Like, if you run up-tempo by design, you keep him on the field. You know it's going to be humid, regardless of the rain, regardless of the temperature. You know it's humid, and he has played, I think, 3 snaps in the preseason. Let's go.
Chris Russell can be heard on the Team 980 Monday through Friday from 1 to 4, and you're covering this game. Will you be writing articles or anything as well?
No. Nobody wants me to write. I mean, I'm doing
your writing.
I appreciate you. No, I'm doing a pregame hit with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. I think it's at 3:30 tomorrow on 980 because of the Nationals, and then something with Doc after the game, and maybe a TV thing. You know, I'm doing something down here. Honestly, A-Rod, I'm down here because my family lives down here. A lot of my family lives down here, so I can, you know, kind of make it a family work trip. And I love Tampa. I love Raymond James Stadium. Got some friends that work for the Buccaneers, so I want to say hello to them. And again, it's the dawning of a new era. I just hope it lasts longer than it looks like maybe Jordan Love season, lasted. I just want that. I don't even so much care if they lose a close one, which is, by the way, what I have, 24-20. I don't know where you come in on that. I just want them to look pretty proficient and escape every week without catastrophic injuries.
Rooster, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. I got to run. That's Chris Russell. I'm Adam Epstein. Score prediction from AWOD, 20-17. Hail, Commanders 1-0 coming home for week 2. It's Doc Walker coming up next on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.